Hey, everybody. I want to tell you about my friends at Naked Vine in Chesterfield, Missouri, located at 1624 Clarkson Road. You can come by and visit them anytime during the week. They do live music, usually Thursday through Saturday, some Tuesdays, some Wednesdays also. But yeah, full listing of events at nakedvine.net. You can follow along with their music calendar. They'll have full list of all their whiskeys and wines and different drinks out there, some craft beers as well. And you can come out on May 31st. You can see Billy Crogan of Les Gruff and the Billy Goat. On June 1st, Beth Bombara. And on June 2nd, Grass-Fed Mule. Naked Vine is now hosting the Rock Paper Podcast Storytelling Show every second Tuesday of the month out there. Also, June 12th, I'll have Joe Bazzelli, Seth Brand, and Tyler Lewis out there for an intimate, seated, listening room experience type of show. So please come on out and check that out. You can find everything at nakedvine.net. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And come on out for have a good time. Thanks, everyone. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends at Music Record Shop. Find them over there in the Dot Zack building in the St. Louis area. Or you can shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. They'll have new records in every Friday. I just had a great time hanging out with those guys for Record Store Day. I'm sure you can swing by and still pick up a couple of leftovers from that. You can also follow along with them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. All kinds of records and tickets given away throughout the day over there. And be sure to check out the exclusive meet and greets and record signings they've been doing. So everything's at musicrecordshop.com.
What is up? This is James with the Cerebral Entertainment Podcast, and I am here to tell you about an event that is going to blow some socks off, and I hope some of those socks are yours. And that is the Send Up on Shaw, June 2nd at Gaslight Lounge, located at 4916 Shaw Avenue in St. Louis, Missouri. There will be live comedy, there will be live music, and of course, there will be live podcasting. The exciting thing for the CEP is that we will indeed be podcasting at this extravaganza of awesomeness. Tickets are $27.03 via Eventbrite for this festival happening both inside and outside of the Gaslight Lounge, and the lineup for all the performers is going to flip your jibs. I wouldn't lie to you folks, but go check out the Send Up on Shaw Facebook event page and see for yourself. You shan't be disappointed, I promise. June 2nd, from 12 p.m. to 8 p.m, the Send Up on Shaw Festival at Gaslight Lounge. Can't wait to see you there, and keep your eyes peeled for
the Cerebral Entertainment Podcast
is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Brian at Naked Vine. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today at the Naked Vine in Chesterfield, Missouri with Brian Herr.
Hello, Shane.
Hey, man. How you doing?
Good, buddy. Good.
Good to see you.
Yeah, man.
This is exciting stuff. I'm glad to be here today hanging with you and getting to talk about all this stuff going on. I know we've become friendly.
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Like, I see you around a lot of, like, at shows, and I've been coming here and trying to, when I can, come out and support you here. And,
right.
But I run into a lot of other shows and around town, too, and it's been a lot of fun to become, you know, buddies through all this stuff, and like, but I thought this would be an cool opportunity to get to know a little bit more about you and everything you've been up to.
Sure, right on. Yeah.
So yeah. Let's get into it, man. When does Naked Vine get started out here?
Well, it's been a journey. We opened in our first iteration almost 12 years ago, November of 06, And when we opened, we were a retail wine shop. And really, that's the reason we're in Chesterfield, is we felt it would be a good location for a boutique type, small production wine feature retail shop. And it was for a couple of years. And then the bloom kind of came off the rose, but you know, guess what? We still had a lease and we still had obligations, and we had to kind of think on our feet and didn't really know what we were going to do with it. But we decided, we being me, I mean, it's really me, decided that we were going to make it into what has become a wine, whiskey, and music venue. So we still feature wines that you wouldn't see elsewhere. I guess our common thread, we serve wine and whiskey, and the common thread with that is they are small production wines, whiskeys. The wines are largely from California, but from smaller outfits, things that you're not going to see case stacked everywhere you go. And the neat thing with the wine is we offer all of the wines by the glass. So 80, 90 wines by the glass, kind of unheard of, but you know, we do it. We've got a system that allows us to do it, and we do it. And then, of course, all of our whiskeys. We're not a cocktail bar. We pour whiskey in a glass. We pour wine in a glass. We've got some a rotating selection of craft beers and a few higher-end tequilas, but we're not a cocktail bar. We offer straight pours of whiskey and tequila and our wines. And then we, you know, as we were kind of evolving into this thing that we are now, music has always been my passion, along with the wines, the whiskeys, etc. So we've added music 3 nights a week. We did that several years ago. We think that the music that we bring in is largely music that you'd maybe see in the city.
Sure.
Music in West County has been, I don't know why, but it seems to me that a lot of it is, and it's not a knock on what happens out here, but you know, sometimes it's two guys sitting on a stool, singing a song, telling a joke, and then singing another song. I just think it can be better than that.
Right.
Yeah, so we've, a lot of the bands that play here pretty much exclusively play in the city, and the only time they come to the county is to come out here. So Phil Wright from Scandaleros and Alligator Wine started calling us the best city bar in the county.
Yeah.
Right? Right. And you know, it's kind of, I think it's true.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of got that vibe to it with, we're kind of a poor man's Venice Cafe, I think.
Right,
you know?
I guess that's where I first started taking notice of what you were doing, was because I would see, on Facebook and everything else, all these events start popping up, and where you were having all my friends coming out here, and it was like, well, and there's not a lot up for original music out in this, area. So it's like, to start seeing all these names popping up of all my buddies playing in Chesterfield, it was really nice, especially for me being in Wentzville.
Yeah.
Like, I can come see them, 20 minutes away instead of an hour away or whatever.
Right,
so,
right.
So that's when I first started really, like, realizing what was going on out here, and started trying to make my way in here more often. So I know I've seen, Hillary Fitz and all kinds of, you got Bottoms Up Blues Gang, and you got, we got a couple of big ones coming up in June. You got Beth Bombara's out here.
Yep.
And
yep.
Grass Fed Mule. And
yep.
So you're offering a lot of variety. I mean, let alone, it's like you got, right, even just right there, I mentioned folk and blues and bluegrass and,
sure,
singer-songwriter stuff, and all this. So I love that it's not necessarily any one particular genre. And you said Alligator Wine, too. They played last night, and they're
right.
Grateful Dead stuff. So you get a little everything on the calendar, too.
Yeah, I guess I'd loosely describe our musical acts as Americana, roots, kind of music. We don't do any 80s, 90s, you know, rock and roll cover stuff.
Right.
We don't do any jazz, but, you know, we'll have everything from bluegrass, newgrass, psychograss to, you know, to the Dead and folk music and blues. Tonight we've got Mark Chechik is coming out with his little blues trio called Blue Plate Special. Bottoms up, you know, Jeremy and Carrie have been, yeah. You know, Eric, they've been so good to us, you know, so we love them, and they're out here 7 or 8 times a year, so,
speaking of the different grass, there's a group now called Native Howl, and they call themselves Thrash Grass.
Oh, nice.
Thrash Grass, and, it's like a heavy metal, like, I mean, they got banjos and stuff, but they're like playing like real heavy headbanging to it, and it's crazy. So,
I don't know that, but yeah. I will check it out.
Yeah, it's a good time, but they're trying to basically create their own genre with it all and stuff. So you know, you gotta admire somebody that wants to do something different.
Hey, that's it, man. You've gotta, you know, I don't care what business you're in. I mean, we have an identity here. And we don't try to be all things to all people. I don't want everybody as my customer. That might sound crude, but, you know, if you want a rum and coke or, you know, a gin and tonic, then go sit at the sports bar down the street. So I think it's cool that a band is, you know, a band should have an identity. Mm-hmm. It should be something that's unique because, you know, once you try to please everybody, yeah, you wind up, you know, kind of not pleasing too many people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So where did the love of music start for you? I mean, was that some of your parents or anybody really get you big into that stuff? Or
no, you know, my parents were never inclined. But I'm the second of 4 boys. My older brother, the best thing he did for me was let me tag along a lot when he went out, and I kind of, you know, I began hanging out, you know, an age group up from myself and hanging with his friends and going to shows and so forth. And he really got me introduced or introduced me to music. And it's just been a lifelong love affair since then. So I can't imagine, you know, a day without music.
All right, yeah.
Couldn't work. It wouldn't happen, yep. You know?
I mean, there are definitely times for me where, like, especially after I've been, like, you know, rocking all weekend or whatever, and I need to decompress a little bit and mm-hmm. listen to, like, just... That's what I love about podcasting, you know? And mm-hmm. and I listen to a lot of Howard Stern's show, too, and stuff. Like, so, like, hearing that conversation and talk radio kind of stuff sometimes can just kind of decompress for a little bit, like I said. But yeah, I don't know if I can go a whole day without some music. But,
right, yeah, right, so. Right. And being in St. Louis, if you're listening to the radio, thank God for KDHX, yeah. Right? Because otherwise we'd be in Death Valley, man. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So, what was the first show you went to?
First show I went to was Hawkwind.
Yeah.
Lemmy was playing bass for Hawkwind.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. So they were kind of a space rock kind of a harder nectar kind of a thing. They a lot of people I'm sure haven't heard of them, but and you know what? How I went to that show, I have no idea. But man, I had a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, been doing it ever since. So, thank you, Lemmy.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed you, while you're wearing it today, you're listening to Townes Van Zandt, and I see it's on the fridge. And
yeah.
Seems to be sort of a theme, a trend going. Townes a big you're a big fan of his?
Big fan of Townes. I mean, Townes was really, you know, one of the great songwriters. You just can't deny him. And he was I admire him because he lived a troubled life. He had some mental issues that he dealt with as best he could, and you know, it wound up to be a life not long lived, but man, certainly a life that touched a lot of people. So yeah. I think those are the kind of guys you've got to, you know, you got to give them their due and sure. make sure everybody else kind of, you know, finds out who they were.
Yeah. I mean, you look at guys like all the, you know, the whole group of like the, what, 28 Club, right, or whatever, like all that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, 27, like, 28, 27, whatever. Yeah.
But like, but, you know, Hendrix and Cobain and Morrison and all these guys, I mean, they all like...
Janis.
All the stuff that they created in such a short amount of time and how it's impacted so many people for generations to follow. It's like, it's crazy to think about, like, what they could have done if they were, you know... They had, you know, lived a full life and things, but
if my legacy were, if I had to leave a legacy from the age of 27, you know, it wouldn't be much. Yeah, so these guys were,
yeah,
there's a reason they were icons.
Yeah. That's, I mean, that's crazy stuff, but yeah, I'm kind of with you, man. I didn't really do a whole lot before 27, is
right, so, nothing you want to tell people about,
right. I kind of make jokes about it, but like even getting into this whole, you know, St. Louis music scene right now, like this is all still fairly new to me. Like, you know, I didn't, you know, when I growing up, like I didn't really have some older cousins and stuff, and I would hang out and they kind of introduced me to some music and things, but like I didn't really have people like taking me to live shows and stuff, so I really didn't like. Really good start going into a lot of live music till about, you know, 20 or something. And then, right. like, you know, so maybe, you know, I'm 32. So, like, I've been the last, like, 20 or last 12 years or something, I've been trying to, like, make up for lost time. Trying to, you know, so it's like, and that's kind of where I've been trying to, the sort of evolving. Like, I started going to live music and going out and supporting all my friends that were, like, from high school that started playing music. And then, like... And that just started snowballing. Like, I'd go and see, well, this band, you know, they opened for them that time or whatever. They shared a stage with them. And then, like, I was like, well, I like what they're doing. I'm going to go see them the next time. And that, you know,
right.
so on and so on. And then,
right.
And I started trying to, like, go back and dig up some of the old stuff that I missed. All the, you know, especially in, like, St. Louis Rock, like, The Urge and Gravity Kills.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, all this stuff, like, Stir and Modern Day Zero and whatever, you know. So all these guys have like become friends now since I've, you know, they're all around town still. I get to meet them and hang out with them. And
yeah.
But that was kind of the crazy thing was like, you know, I'm trying to like rediscover this stuff after it was already pretty much done. But what that's the kind of cool thing now is that The Urge and Stir and Modern Day Zero, they've all been doing these like, you know, shows, one-offs and stuff again. So it's nice to see them still at it. But
right.
But that's how it's been for me. Like, I've been, you know, it just became an addiction, and I wanted to try to soak up as much as I could. And,
yeah, if people would just dig just a little deeper, and there's plenty that are aware, but if a lot of people would dig just a little deeper, they'd find a vibrant, just thriving music scene in St. Louis. We are blessed with great musicians, great songwriters, and you know what? They're just all really good people.
Yeah, that's what I love about it, man. The most, right? Like, it's like, yeah, let alone they're incredibly talented, but they're all some of the best people, and to become, like, this show in particular has, you know, introduced me to all these people, and now they've become some of my best friends throughout this thing. So
yeah.
It's like, that's the cool part about it all.
You look at the Scandaleros and Alligator Wine, and you're like, man, these guys are kind of rough and tumble. I don't, you know, I don't think I should go talk to them, you know? They're the sweetest, you know. I mean, my God, those guys would give you the shirt off their back, you know?
Phil always, like, they make jokes like that. They look like a starting offensive line for some, you know, football team or whatever.
Yeah, stuff, some prison team, yeah. Right?
But yeah.
I
love hanging with those guys. They are just always make me laugh, and it was a good time.
Amen.
You ever try to play, or is that really always just been a fan?
You know, I did. When I was a boy, I got my mom and dad to buy me a guitar and take lessons. And we went to a grade school, a Lutheran grade school in Illinois. And but we had this one guy who was he taught math or something, but he was also the music teacher, and he was kind of a displaced hippie. you know, probably, you know, out of his realm a little bit where he was. And he wasn't there too long, but his name was Mr. Ochterberg. So a good German name, a good German Lutheran name. And he taught me how to play. I was never any good. I was three chords in a cloud of dust, you know. But I remember we had to do a show to you know, show all the other parents and everybody, you know, what we'd learned. And the song that he had me perform, and I had no idea what it meant because I was maybe 10, was Lola. Yeah. So here I am, you know, singing about a transvestite, you know, to the you know, church group, and I don't think it went over that well. Yeah. Yeah. So those were the end of my playing days. Yeah.
It is funny to me too, like how you know, pop. How many of these pop songs and different, especially even today, like people sing the words of these songs and don't really quite realize what they're singing about. And,
no idea.
Yeah, right.
None. Yeah.
So it's like, oh, it's got a catchy little groove to it. And like, you know,
yeah, like, right. So. Meanwhile, you're inciting a riot, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. You, was Naked Vine your first business adventure as an entrepreneur and stuff? Like,
yeah, you know, I haven't had a regular paycheck since 1995. I was in the hotel business, and then I worked at Merritt's out in Fenton for a number of years, 9 or 10 years. And after that, I left Merritt's and became, of all things, a mortgage broker. And I did that for 13 years with my sister-in-law. And loved it. I mean, I guess I don't think I really loved it, but it's what I felt that I was supposed to be doing, I guess. You know, you just do what you do, kind of a thing. And then one day I woke up and I said, man, if I don't stop this, I'm going to wind up on the front page of the Post-Dispatch, but it's going to be for all the wrong reasons.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be good. So I started looking for a business to buy, and you know, just couldn't find the right deal, so one thing led to another, and we opened, you know, the wine shop. And, you know, the wine shop became the wine bar, and the wine bar became, you know, the music joint. And, you know, here we are. And right now, you know, I tell people I'm definitely doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I've never worked harder, been happier, and made less money in my whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fortunate enough, like, I have my day job that, you know, the paycheck, the benefits, and all that stuff, but, like, offers me the flexibility to do all the creativity that I want, you know, all the doing this podcast and going out to
sure.
the shows and doing all this stuff, like, and I keep hoping all that work will lead into the next adventure to where I would love something like doing like what you're doing here, having my own venue to where I can bring all my friends out and...
Right.
I mean, that's, so to me, you're living the dream, man. Like, to be out here playing, you know, getting to listen to all these songs and be a part of all this with everybody. And I'm sure, you know, it's just like everything else. Like you're saying, it's a lot of work. And, you know, but it's like, for me, I think that would be a ton of fun.
Oh, that's not lost on me. I mean, I people every day say, man, I want your job.
Yeah.
So, and, you know, I know what they mean. And there's a lot that goes into it,
sure.
But there's a lot that goes into any job. And, you know, it's why they call it work.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's not lost on me. I'm extremely fortunate and, you know, thankful every day that I get to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Like I said, beautiful spot here. I love what you got going on. And so come out and visit Brian here at Naked Vine in Chesterfield. What's the address here?
We are at 1624 Clarkson Road. We're south of Highway 40, north of Baxter. We're in the same shopping center as Barnes & Noble and the Alpine Shop.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah, man. So we got, like I said, we do have a bunch of great dates coming up. We have Billy Crogan on the 31st of May. We got Beth Bombara on the 1st and Grass Fed Mule on June 2nd.
Yes.
And you can find all those at nakedvine.net. And then you got another big one June 16th, you have Beth Lee and the Breakups.
Yep, a band from Austin. They're coming through town, and we've got them. Hey, how are you? Good. And yeah, so we're looking forward to have them out. We get bands from Detroit to Austin, and from Denver to Louisville.
Yeah, I think I do notice, like, okay, you know, just keeping up with the online and everything, like occasionally something pops up that I'm, you know, unfamiliar, but I love that you're bringing in some touring acts like that and stuff too. So
yeah.
So yeah, that's a very exciting, you know, just to like be introduced to new music all the time, like, so.
Absolutely.
And then you, we got a big one. Me and you are working together.
Like, oh yeah. Let's talk about that.
We're doing a. Starting on June 12th, every second Tuesday of the month here at Naked Vine, we're going to be doing a singer-songwriter storytelling showcase, and I'm you know, incredibly grateful for the opportunity to come out here and be a part of what you're doing. This June 12th date, I'm bringing along my friends Joe Bazzelli, Seth Brand, and Tyler Lewis. And,
right on.
All three of these guys are more... A little more modern country influence. Seth's like got a little pop in there too, and
mm-hmm.
but all three are incredible writers and storytellers, and I'm looking forward to the event. So that'll be out here on the 12th, and it'll be like a $5 cover at the door.
Yep.
So come on over, and we're gonna make it a listening room that night, which I think is gonna be.
Yes, we are. Yeah. So it'll be a little bit different from our normal routine, but. We'll pull some seating up right in front of the stage. Everybody will be able to be up close and personal, and some Q&A, and there'll be plenty of time for, you know, to be served drinks. But, yeah, we want it to be something that while the guys are talking and singing and informing and performing, that there be quiet, and so it'll be fun.
Yeah. Yeah, this has been a goal, like, since I started the show. Like, before doing this show, I would always go into all these, you know, different singer-songwriter stuff, right. And all that. I mean, that's always been a huge passion of mine, and, like, so it's kind of, I felt it was fitting, like, you know, finally getting to be able to do it my own and do something, then trying to bring my own friends out here involved. Like, there's a lot of other great shows in town doing a similar kind of thing. I'm just trying to cash in on it a little bit with my own friends and bringing them in, and, like, especially I think out here to Chesterfield, bringing some people from the city, just like you're doing, and bringing them to a different audience, you know, just showing them some different stuff. So I'm excited for it, man. I think it's gonna be a ton of fun,
and we are too. Yeah. We are so pumped for it.
So that like I said, all those details can be found at nakedvine.net, or the songwriter stuff can be also found at Rock Paper Podcast, and I think we got a Facebook event set up too, and everything, if you want to RSVP for that.
Plenty of ways to get the info.
Yeah. So we got, like I said, we got a lot of great shows coming up. Is there going into the future? I mean, you say, you know, like over the last 12 years, Naked Vine has evolved quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like there's a next step? You know what?
Yeah, I still think that, you know, I think I've got about 10 years left in me, you know, that I want to work.
Yeah.
So that'll take me to 70. And, you know, come on, by 70, you know, maybe we can, you know, put our feet up then.
Yeah.
But I think in the meantime, I'd really like to get a place to do this, but do it in a second location. We'd keep this, but I've always, you know, we're kind of looking for the right place, maybe in the city, so we can be a city bar in the city. we'd like to do that. Maybe we've got some grandiose ideas, and as soon as we kind of find the place to the right location, then we're going to let everybody know what it is. But there's some pretty cool ideas that we've got that where we can maybe expand what we're doing here.
Yeah, that would be neat. I think there's always plenty of room for another stage to play.
Right, so. Man. Yeah, man. Everybody wants a forum. These guys need to play. So
yeah, it's there's a lot of great talent, and everybody's, like I said, everybody wants to play. So it's like it's funny, crazy for me when I look at I do those like list of events, and you know, there's like 40 something shows that I know about on a Friday night and stuff. Like,
thank God you do that, man. That's awesome.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Yeah, that all originated out of just what people saying there's nothing to do in St. Louis.
And I'm right.
Like, oh, you're wrong. Like, even that, like, and that, so that's also a fun thing for me to like kind of look at like the how it's evolved, because like that started with just four or five shows maybe or whatever, if that,
sure,
on a Friday night, and like that's what I knew, that was kind of my network at the time.
Yeah.
And then to like through Facebook memories or whatever, different stuff, it will pop up saying like, yeah, 4 years ago you listed these four shows, that kind of thing. And then like now I look at the list and it's like 40 shows on a Friday. It's like, it's just kind of, it's for me, it's like, man, it's crazy to think that how far out I've networked and I've met so many different people now. And like, I realize like, I didn't think I knew everything, but I thought I knew,
right.
I thought I knew St. Louis music then. And then like to realize now that I didn't know anything. So that's like, it's just fun to constantly, like I said, to keep continuing to dive deeper into this and just continue to discover everything.
Right. Oh, man, I love it. And you do comedy and music. I think that's great. Yeah, you let people know what's going on, and it's lovely.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, man.
You care answering some fan questions?
Oh, my God. We've got fans?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Of course. Yeah.
These are always kind of fun for me. Obviously, you saw some of the questions. It gets... Usually it's a bunch of people making jokes and some sarcastic stuff, but it's always
it's
always make me laugh.
That's social media.
Yeah, but my buddy Gary writes in, how did he come up with the name?
Well, I put down, anytime I'd have a thought, I'd write it down on a sheet, and I wound up with 50 or 60 names. And some of them were, immediately stupid, and, we ruled them out. Maybe the one we chose is stupid, too. I don't know. But, I just kept thinking Naked Vine, and it had an inference of wine, and it had something that was, maybe naughty or maybe appealing or, exciting. I always thought people would say, Naked Vine, what's Naked Vine? Let's look it up online. But people would constantly come in, and still do, open the door, and they're like, what are you? I'm like, if I want to know what something is, I just kind of look it up, and I'm informed. But I kind of think maybe we outcooled ourselves with the name. We maybe kind of, just should have done something more normal. But it is what it is, and we like it. So it's Gary, I chose Naked Vine because I didn't have you to ask,
Do you ever get like people worked up because it is naked? Like,
there's the usual, bad jokes. Do we have to be naked to come in here? Right. We prefer that you weren't. please. None of us are 20 anymore.
I just think about like, obviously great friends of mine, Funky Butt Brass Band, and like they give people all the time that they don't appreciate the butt in their name and stuff.
Right.
And it's like, well, there's all kinds of butts, there's like, so.
Sure.
I was like, I just think maybe people have a problem with it being a funky butt, so maybe that's the problem.
But. Yeah, go away.
Yeah.
Maybe you're not my customer.
Yeah. And he also, Gary wanted to know if you had any advice for someone looking to start up a business and stuff.
Yeah, think twice, think thrice.
Yeah.
It's an incredible devotion of time, energy, an incredible amount of time away from your family, an incredible amount of capital, more than what you think, and then it's incredibly rewarding. So, you get to spin around on this rock, a few times, and then it's all over, and you're going to be gone, and. So enjoy it, So that's what we're doing. We're enjoying it, and some days are troubling, and some days are maddening, but they're all in some fashion rewarding.
Yeah, man. You, let's see, Nigel writes in, he was asking for a definitive ranking of Neil Young's best records.
I do, but Nigel, I love Nigel.
Yeah.
He's with Les Gruff and the Billy Goat.
Yeah, great band.
And, but Nigel, let's talk about the bad ones. How about Reactor, Landing on Water, Trans... All right, so those three just suck, right? They're just awful. But the best ones, everybody knows This Is Nowhere. You got to keep going back to that. Harvest is kind of a easy answer. But maybe my favorite is On the Beach.
Yeah?
Yeah, I love it. It's, I guess, early 70s, 74 or so, something like that.
Sure.
And, yeah.
Well, the guy like that, puts out that much content. I mean,
he's prolific.
Some, not all of them are going to be winners, but
there were some stinkers.
But it's like you got to appreciate again, a guy that can take a risk, trying something, trying some different stuff, and again, things not everyone's going to work for everybody, but
no doubt.
I do appreciate what Neil's catalog, though. He's.
I'm going to see him the end of June. I bought a. Just got a ticket the other day, and
is it the Fox show?
Yeah, it's at the Fox, and it's a solo show. So I assume he's gonna go back and forth between guitar and piano, and so might be fun.
Yeah, I saw him a couple years ago. I went to Farm Aid and saw him, and that was a whole lot of fun. It was in Kansas City that year. There's some soccer stadium up there, but it was really great to see. Willie and Neil and Mellencamp and Dave Matthews and all those. I mean, it was a great time.
See them all you can. I'll tell you what. I wished I would have gone to see Tom Petty last summer.
Yeah.
I mean, who knew that we'd lose him? So
yeah,
it was
a big one.
Enjoy every sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You let's see. We got Tony, also from Les Gruff and the Billy Goat, writes in, ask him if they serve Bud Light.
Fuck no. Tony. No. So people come up, ask her a Bud Light, or they, the way I see it is you can get a Bud Light anywhere.
Right.
So, you're in my clubhouse, so you're going to drink my booze, but you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Right?
All right.
Yep. Yeah.
I like that, man, because, like you're saying, they can get that anywhere, but, you're coming here, you're going to, be a part of this whole experience and stuff, so.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, you want a Bud Light, I'll give you a Schlafly White Lager. You'll have a lager, but it'll have flavor. You'll thank me for it later.
my mother-in-law writes in, Pamela says, ask him if he's related to Tommy.
Tommy is the black sheep of the family. He's always, not always, he used to always call for money, but we stopped taking his calls, so he doesn't even bother us anymore. But Tommy was the second baseman with the nice caboose that all the girls liked. But no, I get asked that a lot. His family is from Pennsylvania, ours is from Illinois, and as far as I know, they have never... intermingled.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Always been St. Louis area for you?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah. Yeah, I grew up in Collinsville.
Yeah.
Class of 76, baby.
Yeah.
Go Cayhawks.
There you go.
I've lived in the city for quite a while now. So, yeah.
I get, it just happened last night, even asking if I'm related to Elvis. I get that one all the
time. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Having some of those names like that, it's like the go-to. Everybody has to ask.
They have to ask, yeah.
My grandmother used to say I look like Elvis all the time. I don't know that I see it, but, dark hair and sideburns, maybe, there's...
Well, use it.
All right.
Yeah.
I'd usually say I'm not close enough to get any of the royalties or anything. Like that.
Yeah, but. Just on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. We mentioned Phil Wright of the Scandaleros and Alligator Wine. He said he'd like to know, ask him about the door to the state or door on the stage, and his best Scandaleros or Alligator Wine story.
Mm.
So do you have a particular?
Well, the best Scando Alligator Wine story was probably a Scandalero show several months ago. And I'll tell you, I mean, they can get energy up like nobody, man. So when you've got, you know, our room's smallish. We seat 60-some people. And, you know, when you get 80 or so or 90 in here, it's a pretty great vibe. And Scandaleros were on that night like they always are. And the last set ended, and there was probably a couple of encores because they're good guys. And people hung around, and, you know, at the end of the night or the next day, there were some ladies under things that were hanging from the elk that's mounted behind the bar. And I didn't really have any recollection of that, to be honest with you, but I'm told that I removed some of those under things. So, yeah. I won't tell you who it is, but she's a lovely, lovely girl.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'll tell you after. Yeah. She was here last night. Yeah.
That's a story for another podcast.
Right. And then the door on the stage. So we had a show in February. Nick Dittmeyer and the Sawdusters were here from Louisville. And they come through St. Louis a lot. And we booked them. We've got them coming a couple more times this year. But they put on a great show, good honky-tonk band from Louisville. And the end of the night, I guess a gal had come in. She hadn't been here, you know, enjoying the night with us. But she came in to use the ladies' room. And our ladies' room is a shared ladies' men's room. So there's, you know, just one option. And I noticed that people were lined up waiting to get in. It was like 1:15 on a Saturday morning. We were getting ready to close, and I was ready to get people out of here. But this gal was apparently, she was locked in the bathroom, passed out. So, you know, it's not because, you know, we were pouring her booze that night. But like I say, she walked in, and so, you know, we had to get her out of there. And 1:15 on a Saturday, it's the end of my week. I've put in enough hours, and I'm kind of tired and ready to go. So I grabbed a 40-pound tank of argon gas, and my staff looked at me like, what are you doing? I said, get out of my way. And went over and shoved it right through the door, put about a, I don't know, 3-foot-size hole in the door, and stuck my head through the hole and announced, here's Johnny. Well, that girl shot up off of that toilet faster than, you know, well, pretty fast. It's the quickest thing she did all day. So we got her out of there, and her husband thanked me, and I said, don't thank me yet, because you owe me $200 for that door, you know, before you leave.
All right.
And so that was that, and we decided we were going to put the door on the stage and cover it with stickers because it's kind of rock and roll, right?
Yeah,
so that's what we did.
There you go.
So now I'm, you know, I don't have a door to my office because we had to take that door off and put it on the bathroom. So when you walk by my office, you know, don't look in. It's, you know, not pretty.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great story. That's rock and roll right there.
That is rock and roll.
Yeah.
Well, in Chesterfield it is. Yeah. It's Chesterfield rock and roll.
We're talking about those guys, Scandaleros and stuff. And I love what they do.
They keep coming up, man.
Yeah, I booked them. I love what they do so much. I booked them for my my 4th annual birthday show too. So you can catch them.
Oh, nice.
With at Old Rock House on July 8th.
Perfect,
so, yeah,
man.
We're gonna do a Sunday party over there.
Oh, a Sunday. Well, I'll be there then.
Yeah.
It's on a Sunday.
Come on out. It's gonna be fun.
Right on.
It's gonna be a wild night. I got Scandaleros, Old Souls Revival, Matthias and the Pirates, The Many Colored Death, and Sophisticated Babies.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a can't miss.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited. But like I said, I'm excited about the singer-songwriter night out here, and I'm thrilled to be working, partnering up with you and making some cool things happen, man.
Awesome. Yeah, we are too. We're pumped. This is going to be a good thing. We're looking forward to the 12th as well, so, man, let's do it, and let's just keep it going.
And again, everything Naked Vine at nakedvine.net. You can follow along on, we got Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, right?
Yes.
Great. Like a nice bunch of dates coming up on the calendar, like I said. And we got all kinds of tasty beverages, whatever you like. So, except for Bud Light.
Yeah, and vodka.
Yeah. But this has been awesome, man. Thank you, Brian, for doing this. And I'll see you soon, buddy.
Sounds good. Thanks, Shane.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, buddy.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.